Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome to the MegaCast, episode 103. It sounds weird, saying like saying over 100. I don't know why, how we got this far. How did we get this far?
I don't know. It's getting close to my age, so it's getting a bit freaky.
Pure luck.
We got a long way to go until we hit your age, man. A long, long way. I'm joined tonight by the ancient Wilco. Good evening, mate.
Hey, how you going, mate?
The beautiful Josh.
Oh, shit, that's me. Yeah, sorry.
Shitty tag.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've been here, so I've kind of forgotten what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And again, for the second week in a row, the brand new permanent member, Uber Timmy. Good evening, man.
How you doing? Good to see you. Well, actually, good to hear you, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, I guess we'll start. We usually start with Wilco, but because you're ancient, you need some time to get your pacemaker and shit like that.
I'll start
with Timmy. Timmy, what have you been up to for the past 7 days since you last caught up?
Actually, I'm not really embarrassed to say it. I've been playing a fuck ton of Farming Simulator 19. I actually got an early release version of it.
Right.
And
hang on.
It was
awesome. Haven't some massive games come out, like Red Dead, like Assassin's Creed, and fucking Fallout came out this week. What, you been playing Farming Simulator?
I played 6 hours of Fallout, so I've done all I need to do in that game. And
you finished it, dude.
I reached out to Five Star Games and said, you know, I've never played a Farming Simulator game before, and they were like, well, we can look after you, and they sent me a press copy, and fuck, I actually had a stack of fun playing it. It is so relaxing. I started streaming it. I had 50 people in my chat. They're like, you know, do this, do that. I had some amazing experiences where my tractor tipped over for no reason, where I dropped something into a trailer and couldn't get it back out, so I just rammed the trailer with my tractor. Tried to spike some bales of straw and just ended up flipping the tractor into space. Like, it was just, yeah, it's, I don't know what it is, but it is actually
Back up. You tried to spike some hay bales and flipped your tractor into space.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't spike them when you're going at them at 60 kilometers an hour, but
that is a sentence I never thought I'd ever hear in my life.
So it's a lot like normal farming then.
I've never done normal farming, but it's, I don't know. It's just very relaxing for some strange reason, you know. I play out a field of soybeans, and it took me an hour and a half. And after it, I was like, "Fuck that!" My OCD kicked in, and I had to make sure that I did it in straight lines. And yeah, afterwards, I went and sold all the soybeans, and I was like, I feel like that hour and a half was
well used.
Yeah.
Everyone's been making fun of my age leading into this podcast, and we've got Timmy who's playing Farming Simulator. Yes.
Well, it does sound like real life. I live in Mackay, which is a cane farming town, and every now and then you'll just see a fucking
tractor just fly
up into the sky. Yeah. So I understand where you're coming from with flipping into space.
Tried to spike a hay bale at 65 kilometres an hour. That's what happens. You know?
I've just been trying to chill out the last week or so, because you know there's been so much happening, so many games releasing, and all of them are 50-60 really hour epics. So I've been playing that. I've been playing some SimCity in my spare time.
I've got to ask Timmy, when you're playing it, do you have the straw hat on? Do you have a piece of grass out of your mouth? Is there a banjo going on in the background?
You should cosplay as farmer Timmy.
Actually reached out to Logitech to see if I could get the heavy vehicle bundle that they sell, which has a full fucking crane control on it, and they said they'd get back to me. It's Immersion City, baby. Yeah, it's actually quite legit. I didn't realize there was such a big community for Farming Simulator, but I saw a trailer when they first announced Farming Simulator. There was a video that did the rounds of all the streamers that found out there was going to be John Deere in the game, and it was literally like 20 million people having orgasms.
That's just weird. It is.
That's John West. I thought John Deere did tuna for a second. That doesn't sound like it belongs in Farming Simulator.
All these German people's and that's the other thing as well about the community, is that there's so many streamers in that community that are really popular, but they're all German or French, or they're all from European countries. And I was sitting in the directory, seventh in the directory, and I was the first English streamer. And people were coming in going, oh my God, you're English. You're actually speaking English. I was like, yeah. We never see this. This never happens. So, yeah.
He's found his new calling.
I found it. I found my new niche. I am now a farming sim streamer.
Are you going to start like crying when it doesn't rain for 4 weeks in real life and shit like that?
No, it's not drought simulator. Like, oh, it's not that realistic.
But yeah, so farming simulator. Actually, looking down your list, you've been playing a few sim games, like including Rainbow Six Siege, which is very much a simulator.
Simulator for how to die and get donuts. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Hey, we won a game the other night. Don't sell yourself short. Then you left and we didn't win a game. So
yeah, I had to carry you all.
It was hard to carry.
Drinking Nuka-Cola Quantum because I did get a crate of it sent to me by Bethesda and it's fucking delicious. Just some product placement right there for you, but you should get some if you can.
Look at him dropping names.
It tastes like Cherry Fanta, but without the kick in the nuts that makes you want to scream because it's so sweet.
That's rough. Cherry Fanta is much like that.
Yep.
Good old Bethesda. Cheers for that. You're legends. Have you been playing much? Do you want to talk about Fallout 76?
Do we have any articles like news later on it? Because we can probably roll.
There's one what the fuck moment, but that's more to do with that. I've just put that in there for Perko, to be honest, because it's another information.
Yeah. Let's touch on it briefly. How do I say this though? Because I want to do this in a constructive manner, but. The game's not good. Like, the game is not great. Yeah. It's not in a great spot. It's not finished. It's undercooked. It's buggy. It's got just no depth to it whatsoever.
It looked to me like it didn't know entirely what it wanted to be.
Yes, yeah.
It did. It knew what it wanted to be. It wanted to be a thing that made money for Bethesda really quickly because they had nothing else coming out.
Do I think...
Fair.
...that the amount of coverage, negative coverage that it's getting is like, is it necessary? No, I actually think it's quite hysterical, if I'm completely honest. I think it's just...
Welcome to gaming media.
I just think it's people jumping on the rage bandwagon for clicks. Like, I've seen worse games come out and not receive this amount of absolute just...
Like, I think to be fair, destroyed. Though, to be fair, Timmy, those worst games you've seen, did they have the pedigree of this?
No, they didn't.
That's the problem. I think that's the problem. People are... So Bethesda are a weird kind. Like, I like Fallout 3, and then I played Fallout 4, and I was like, "Well, this is still Fallout 3. They still haven't fixed those bugs either." And then, like, you know, other games came out, and I'm like, "Well, these are kind of the same bugs as a lot of their other games. Why can't Bethesda make a game that's not buggy?" And then this happens.
I don't think it's like, possible for them to make a game that's not buggy until they change the engine they use because it's a 10-year-old engine, and they're just. They don't seem to want to budge from using it, but I just think that like there was someone put up some information last night about the sales compared to Fallout 76 compared to Fallout 4, and they're 82% down for the year on 82% down against Fallout 4 sales. But I mean, no one expected this game to be as big as Fallout 4. No
Jesus
chance.
No. But this is not a mainline Fallout game. Yeah. Like, that's like saying, hey, an Elder Scrolls offshoot game. That's like saying Elder Scrolls Online didn't do as well as fucking Skyrim.
Yeah.
Of course, digital sales is taking up so much more market because this is only talking about physical sales. I think it was a UK article from memory.
The other thing you've got to look at is that they did release in the same week as Spyro and also as Pokemon Go. And consumers, you know, consumers 4 years ago would have bought all three. Consumers nowadays... financially a bit more stressed and they
people
can't afford
playing Red Dead Redemption 2
and they can't they can't afford to buy three games in 1 week, so they'll pick one. And the fact that they beat Pokemon Eevee and Spyro for raw dollars, not units sold but raw dollars, like, as a company, you're not complaining about that. You're not looking at that and going, holy shit, we should shut our doors. They don't care about the Metacritic reviews at the moment. They just, their game sold, it sold a stack of copies, it would have made them money regardless of how we look at it or what we think of the game. But I just think that this coverage at the moment is just a little bit over the top.
Fair. I think it says it all when I say this is the first Bethesda game that I'm not buying. I'm just not going
to
get it.
And considering the amount of games that they have released, to have one bad one, like really bad one, is that reason for us to just suddenly say, you know, Bethesda's fucked forever? Like, it's
No. You know, but to be fair, I didn't like Fallout 4 either. I think they need to change things up because I think that I really think that their method in games and what they're doing is wearing thin, especially on me and on consumers in general. I think this backlash we're seeing is a little bit of that, where the bugginess just isn't You know, it was kind of cute at one point with Bethesda. Oh, look, that motherfucker's floating up in the sky. Where'd my save data go? You know, but now it's, I think it's a bit different.
The other thing as well that, I'm really kind of tired of YouTubers telling people how to think, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I understand, if someone says to me, I don't like this game, I think it's crap, I'd be like, that's cool, that's your opinion. If I happen to like that game and don't think it's crap, that's my opinion, and we can agree to disagree. I feel like YouTubers are overstepping the boundaries between informing people of what they're purchasing and saying, I'm speaking on my own behalf. They're moving into the, I'm informing you of what you should do with your purchase money, and because I'm a YouTuber with a big fan base, I'm speaking for you.
I've heard multiple people say, don't buy this game, or and that's, let people make up their own minds. I understand, I personally don't pre-order games. I don't believe in it. Does that mean that I get on the podcast every week and go, you shouldn't be pre-ordering games? I don't. My personal opinion is you shouldn't, but do what you fucking want, man. It's your money.
Why would you do that, though? Kotaku puts out an article every 6 months saying don't pre-order.
Just do me a favor, people, if you're out there, just Google Kotaku
pre-order
against pre-order in Google, and it literally is 6 months. Every 6 months, there is an article there. It's great.
It's pretty true. Pretty true.
I'm just, I'm just at the moment, it's just. The only word I can describe it with is hysterical, and it's just because it's to get those clicks, you've got to get
those clicks. Welcome to clickbait media. Yeah.
Well, I think, who was I talking to? Joey, ex-podcast host, from here, actually. I was talking to him because I'm still in regular contact with him. He's doing well, guys. He's just very mad at all of you. Not really.
He's not angry. He's just disappointed.
He was telling me that it was actually a 4chan post, so this, take this with a grain of salt, but apparently it was an insider from Reuters, like Reuters. And they were saying, we actually tried to buy up and amalgamate with a gaming news outlet, and they do this, they do a bunch of tests on news outlets before they sort of amalgamate with them and make them, and bring them under the Reuters banner, and that pretty much it goes with whether they're biased or not, whether they take cash bribes, whether all this stuff, not one major gaming publication scored above 45 or 50. Their cutoff is 80. Apparently, this is, take this with a grain of salt as it was.
Games media at the moment, especially journalism when it comes to video games, is in the lowest spot that it's ever been. The trust level that the normal everyday reader has with a magazine or any kind of online article is so low. And it's because,
half the problem is because they're competing with YouTubers and personalities and Twitch people who haven't done journalism courses, who a lot of them are opinionated as hell, and they get clicks. So then you get these media outlets that need clicks. So I understand why it's hard, but sensationalizing articles to get clicks while it's working isn't doing anyone any favors.
No,
it's not good for the industry as a whole,
I think I remember seeing a graph recently as well that showed that in the last 10 years, trust in video game journalism had dropped by almost 60%. That is just... I remember my days when I used to buy N64 Gamer magazine, and I would buy...
EGM and shit like that.
I would buy games for the 64 based off their recommendations because I knew they were legit. And nowadays, I don't think I could look at an IGN review and not think to myself, has this been paid for? Is this a paid review? And that, even if it's not, the seed of doubt is there because we've all been burnt too many times.
Look at Giant Bomb's a perfect example. For those who don't know, the reason Giant Bomb got started is because back in the day, the main site before IGN was the juggernaut that it is and everything, it was GameSpot. And Kane and Lynch 2 came out, I think it was. Kane and Lynch 2, Dog Days. And the reviewer ripped it to shreds, and then it very quick he got fired afterwards, and then it came out that he had turned down more or less bribe money to tell them that this game was good, had ripped the game to shreds, and GameSpot fired him over it apparently, and he went and started Giant Bomb, which is where they came from. So it's been going on for a long time, but I think it's probably at its worst that it's ever been. Cheers, Timmy. Wilco, man, you have been playing... Well, yeah, you've been mowing lawns as well, I guess.
That's it. I've been cutting other people's grasses. It's been great. So,
God, don't say that out loud, mate. I'm not a Mackay.
There was many good puns made last night. We had Indie Mondays again, and we dived headfirst into Lethal Lawns, which I played on my own last week, I talked about, but this time we played it PvP for the first time. So Cal Stevie Jarrah, McDad and me all got in and played some four player action. And yeah, it is definitely a blood sport. And whilst it's not fully fledged at the moment, there's a lot of issues still going on, especially when you're playing online. It's really, really good fun. When are we playing this Uber, Timmy?
What's that? The Lethal Lawns?
Yeah, man.
You have to fill out a form, actually, I think, to play with Uber Timmy now.
Fair call. No, I just like to check that you guys are there still, because I don't like talking to myself half an hour then realising my internet disconnected. So,
it's due to the magic of editing, the absolute magic of editing. No one knows, but Wilco's actually dropped out a few times in this podcast.
I get scared because no one actually wants to listen to me, so no one talks to me when I actually tell you what I'm playing about.
Mate, don't sell yourself short.
It's really good. No, we played a rooftop level, and like, there's some really good maps on there. There's almost a battle royale version in there as well, with Last Man Standing, and there's some really good modes in there. The problem is it's early access, so we played an online game, and then we had to Alt F4 out of the game because it wouldn't load us into the next lobby. Everyone sort of hung and couldn't get out. So there's some issues
did
there.
Did it blow up your PlayStation?
Not yet, and it wasn't I've got to work out the maths on it, but the actual game's about 257 megabytes as a download. So I'm just trying to compare that to the Fallout 76 day one patch.
Which was bigger than the actual fucking game.
Oh my god, did you see the patch that came out this morning, though? It was
47. Oh, that's the news. That's the news. Yeah. We'll get to that later.
Mate, I'm going to spoil the news right now.
I don't want to start raging now. That's not good.
This section's about enjoyment.
Yeah, this is fun. True. True, true that.
No, Lethal Lawns, you've got to get it. We're going to try and do I've already challenged 8-bit to a match, so we can actually play 8 player. So we're going to do a 4v4 USM versus 8-bit in the future. And I want to sort of have a USM night of it where we can get everyone in and just have a thing. And if we get more than enough people, then we'll have the old school loser drops out kind of thing and the next person jumps in. There's some funky things with scoring where we don't know why people were winning.
Good. That's always good when you're playing a competitive game.
It was like you win as soon as you win 3 rounds, you've won. And then me and Stevie Jarrah won 2 rounds each, and it declared him the winner, and that was the end of it. And we're like, okay, that's a thing. Sweet.
Steve was like, default.
So yeah, it was good fun. It was fun, entertaining, just trying to get through the bugs. But like I said, early access, and they've only just added online in the week after PAX. That's like 2 weeks ago. So
yeah,
it's really good. But I just want to mention this. I got this a couple of weeks ago, and I know Joshy's been keen to play it. I got Sleep Tight finally, mate. So,
oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
sweet.
I did.
All right, I need to look at that.
I had the sad moment when Wheel of Fortune came out in America on the Switch, and because of stupid licensing laws, they can't release in Australia, so I made an American account to buy it. And I went, oh, fuck, I'm here now. I may as well just buy Sleep Tight. And
oh, mate, if people are excited about fucking Wheel of Fortune, the Switch is a dead console. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Well, I'm getting to the best part. Fucked. So the Switch's actually been fairly heavily used the last couple of weeks, but Sleep Tight's pretty good. I'm no good at it, but it's like a twin-stick shooter MOBA. But single player.
So it's still not out in the Australian store, though, is it?
No, I don't think it's ever going to come out in Australia. I think they're going to get fucked. To be honest, they're not going through the process of doing it. Yeah, but it's good because you got that whole concept of you basically it's horde mode till you die. You've got the day and night phases where you actually build your fort and your character up. So you're actually researching things and upgrading your character skills as you go along. But if you die, then you start again from scratch. So it's got roguelike elements to it. It's really good fun, but I just need to get better at it. I didn't play it with the Pro Control, which I think is where it's going to shine. At the moment, I'm playing it with the actual Switch handheld mode was god-awful.
Why don't you just get on Steam?
I could just get on Steam, but I want to play it on sit on the lounge. I don't want to play it on my PC.
You have a Switch, don't you, Perko?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do now.
Just sitting around the house playing it.
Yeah, it's fair, I guess. Understand that. Yeah.
Which is what brings me to what I've been playing the most probably in the last week is Civilization VI on the Nintendo Switch. And I know, Perko, you can get the better version of the game on the PC and play it on the PC.
How does it run? Because that sounds perfect to me.
I did a 500 round turn, and for the first probably 300 turns, it ran like butter. And then all of a sudden, towards the end, when you've unlocked most of the map and things are moving, you press a menu button, and then about 5 seconds later, the menu pops up. It looks pretty. It's easy to get around. Everything else, it's just there's this massive lag, and you can see it when you try and do menus towards the end game. But at the start, it's like the first 300 turns are pretty silky smooth, and then
I mean, to be fair, I've got Civ 6 on Steam, and I usually it's only about 200 turns in or 300 turns in before I quit that game and start a new one anyway. So what you're saying is it really sounds like a good game.
They've
to
appealed
the Switch.
To you. You were the tester for this game. We want to appeal to Joshy. How do we get that?
Yeah, that's what's happened. No one ever finishes a Civ game. They get through it. Yeah, it's running fine. They just stop it.
Civ games have an end, do they?
apparently Gandhi nukes everyone. I think that's how it is.
Everyone's trying to get me to go to war with Gandhi at the moment. Actually, I just started my second game of it, and I'm playing as Australia and on a world map, and everyone's starting from their actual geographical location. So I've just conquered Australia and moving on to Papua New Guinea, pushing up through Indonesia. But Gandhi's apparently not very nice, and people want to go to war with him. So pretty much like real life. So
fucking Gandhi. Always ruined everyone.
What the fuck, dude?
It was pretty hilarious. So we were playing it the other night on stream for my Sunday night stream, and we had Cthulhu, the ANZ caster, in playing Division in the background on Cal's stream, who is Russian. And he's going, "Bloody Russians! Fucking gotta go nuke them all! Fucking all this!" And I'm like, "Sorry, Cthulhu. Sorry, mate."
How good would it be? Why don't Civ lean into current world events and just release a patch where it's Donald Trump versus North Korea? Like, that would be the funniest. Like, that would be the most hilarious. Like, scenario.
Do you want to see a share price plummet? Like, in record time.
No, you know what? I actually want to see America with Donald Trump as a leader as a Civ in there, because I've just got to wonder what's the special unit going to be, and what, like, is the special building going to be Trump Tower? What's it going to be? What's the special units? What's it going to be?
No,
special
it'd be a
thing?
Wall. That's all it would be. You'd be able to build a big fucking wall around your base, and no one could get in. The only way to get in is to fucking send immigrants in, pretty much.
And then you'd make everyone else pay for it.
The medieval wall than the Trump wall.
Oh fuck! Get on the line to Sid Meier. This is a fucking good idea.
Yeah. Just tell Pez, he'll sort it out for us. Make it happen, Pez, mate.
You know what game I'd love to see on the Switch? Sid Meier's Railroads. You guys remember that?
Oh, I remember that game. Really? Yeah,
great game.
That was a great game, actually.
I want Pirates on there. Just do a remake of Pirates. Sid Meier's Pirates.
There's a severe lack of train simulator, like train.
I don't care, Timmy. Games. I just don't.
You're really getting into the simulator game, man. Like farming, trains.
Isn't there a train simulator on Steam?
There is.
There's one on Steam. To buy all the trains, it's like fucking $180,000 or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I'm talking like one where you build like your actual tracks, like your railworks and stations and stuff like that. And the old A-Train games, if you guys remember those.
Oh, yeah. No. He's in a song, isn't he? A-Train, what's up? That's a fucking... Isn't that Usher song?
I don't know. I'm not too sure. I listen to all that young rapscallion music.
Wow.
Rapscallion? Fuck, I'm calling every pop song. This is a fucking rap. This is my rapscallion, isn't it? We'll move on, Josh.
Hey, Timmy, can we just interrupt? You know Perko's actually a rap star.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't, let's not go.
Is there another story time with Perko coming up?
Oh, not this. This
actually,
is
I think you
times.
Can go back and listen to Chinglish's, one of his avods from way back in the day when he was actually on the podcast, and we played it live, didn't we?
No, we didn't play it live, I don't think. Oh, maybe Hutto did.
Hutto did.
Yeah, I think Hutto might have, actually.
In front of Chinglish's, all his viewers, while it was a World of Warcraft rap, and but yeah, he was playing World of Warcraft at the time. It was great.
Oh,
anyway,
need to watch this.
It's terrible. It's really fucking bad. Anyone who wants to hear that, go back and listen to, I think it's called The Shaman Who Clicks His Buttons. I think it's one of the episodes we did many moons
ago. It's early on. It's about 40-something, 30-something. The one with English, anyway.
Well, thanks for that. Now I'm sufficiently depressed, Wilco. So.
That's okay. You're welcome.
Well done. Josh, you're playing Starlink, man. Is this any good? No, I keep seeing this Toys to Life shit, and I'm not...
So, it's been about 4 weeks since I've been here, and in that four weeks, I have played about four games.
Oh,
is where I'm at. So before last podcast I was on was the one before PAX, I think.
Shit, it would have been too.
Yeah. So
yeah, it has been about a month, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been about a month. So yeah, I was playing Starlink at the time, and it is actually pretty good. Like, it is a good game.
Did you unplug the dock and just play it with all digital content?
That's the killer. That's the thing. You got to do that. Like, if you are thinking about it, just do it digitally. Like, the ships and the... like the ships, I think, are actually fairly well designed and cool little statues to have. But where it sits, if you're going to do it, just buy the digital deluxe edition. It'll set you back like $130 or something like that, and you get everything.
Yeah.
If you do what I did and then buy the standard edition at $100, and then to buy everything else is about another $100 afterwards.
So you can buy the edition with the cool statue, but then you just unplug the dock and it says, oh, do you want the digital version?
Yeah.
And everything's there for you.
And I don't know if they've patched it, but my understanding is that for a week, and then you have to plug it back in to show that you've got the toy. If that makes
you unplug
sense.
It again, you get everything again. That's fucking wild.
Basically.
That is wild.
But look, it's actually a pretty cool game. Like, it is a really fun game. It's the best way for me to explain it on the Switch is it is a really, really good Star Fox game. Because that's who I'm playing as, man. That's the reason I got it. The combat in the ships is really... It feels good. It feels...
So it's the first really good Star Fox game. No, I'm joking.
It's the closest game that I've played to Lala Wars in a very long time, actually.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty fun game. It doesn't... I don't think it's got a lot of legs. Like, I've put it down and I'll probably come back to it at some point and play a bit
Lies.
More. But no, it was good.
Just like Xenoblade 2.
Yeah, but the only reason I haven't come back to that is because I've forgotten how to play it. And there's like 180 hours of gameplay there.
Yeah, you'll get there, mate.
Like,
I believe
it's just, fuck that. So I played Starlink. That was pretty cool.
Speaking of 180 hours of gameplay, what else have you been playing?
Red Dead. Been on the Red Dead train. I finished it totally.
Oh, you have?
I've totally finished it.
I'm very close. I'm past the...
You've done chapter 6?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So I know where you're at.
So can I just say, before we go on with this, I have a big problem with prequels. Because if you use a little bit of brain power, you can pretty much predict how the fucking game ends.
Yeah.
Very, very easily.
I do think they've done it very, very well in this game. And the one thing for me... And it kind of sucks because I'm playing it on PlayStation, but the one thing for me is now I really want to go back and play Red Dead 1. Like, I do. I want to go back and continue that story and play that again because I really did enjoy Red Dead 1 too. But it's just not that there's no, you know, HD remake or anything on the PS4 available, you know, and my laptop's a piece of shit. So I'm not really going to have that opportunity. But I really, really enjoyed my time with Red Dead. You know, and surprise, I think it might have been you, maybe last week, Timmy, who said that it wasn't a game that you were sitting at work and thinking, fuck, I want to go home and play it.
Yeah.
For me, it actually was. Like, it was something I really wanted to get into because I found, and I think you might have mentioned it too, I found the characters in it really, really engaging. Like Arthur Morgan.
Yeah,
and the main interactions.
Yeah, the protagonist, the main protagonist.
Yeah,
and he's got a lot of depth to him as a character.
He does, and the depth, like, it just grows throughout the story, and I think they've done it in a really good way of how it ends and where it all ends up.
Josh, tell me, how long were you sitting down playing the game at a time? Like, were you sitting down doing quick bursts of it, or were you sitting down doing a couple of hours at a time?
No, not necessarily a couple of hours at a time, like half an hour to an hour. Was probably my shortest.
Yeah.
Was my shortest. And, you know, I'd jump in and do, like, one mission, whether it was a side mission or a story mission, and then I'd be, okay, now I've got to go and do whatever it is I've got to go do, you know? And that was good. That was fine. For me, anyways.
Yeah, I've got Spider-Man's pulling me back at the moment, so I think I'll be getting into that. I'll give Red Dead another go.
Do you mean the game of the year?
one of the many game of the year nominated games.
I think you'll find that's God of War, my friend.
I'm with Timmy on this one.
Really?
I've done my vote, and that's where I sit too, but yeah.
But I agree with everything you guys said last year. It is a... last cast. It is a very, very... I think it's a very, very good game. I didn't have nearly the amount of issues and bugs that I've heard that people have had with you know, bugs and glitching out and stuff like that. I've had a couple. Wasn't very big.
I don't think I've had any issues yet with bugs.
I don't think it is a game of the year game.
No,
you know, like, it is
which
really
is
really good
fucking
and
outrageous
really enjoyed
it still blows me away.
And the sad thing is, like, I saw Timmy's poll he put out yesterday about game of the year nominations, and Red Dead 2 was the clear leader when I saw it last.
Look,
we're different, like, I don't mean that in a funny, it's odd, this this podcast is weird in our views on games and what we think is game of the year. It's always been that way, and I kind of like it. We have a lot of differing opinions and differing views on games. Actually, and I mean, last week it makes me so happy that we've got another person here who doesn't think that Zelda is one of the greatest, Zelda Breath of the Wild is one of the greatest games ever made, because it's just not. But you know,
okay, so I think that we. I've got a question for you. When you look at Red Dead Redemption as a video game, number two, do you think this is perfect all round?
No.
Okay. Do you look at God of War and think, is it perfect all around?
I think it's very, very close, yes. but it's.
I think when you look at God of War as the complete experience, and this is what every game of the year should look at as a complete experience across all, ticks all the different boxes, it is as close to perfect of a video game as you are going to get. Whereas you look at Red Dead Redemption, and you've got one of the most captivating stories built in one of the most beautiful game engines I've ever seen. Coupled with one of the controls shittest like controlling mud. Systems I've ever seen. Boring, predictable combat and
an incredibly predictable storyline. Yeah, I'm very sorry. Yeah. But I had picked exactly what was going to happen almost.
I picked exactly
what was going to fucking happen. Like chapter 2. And it happened and I was like, oh.
If well, I reckon, and with no spoilers, if you had picked exactly what was going to happen, exactly, yet the outcome, I can understand, but exactly what happened, mate, that is the best guess in the world, and you should go and buy Lotto, because there's no way you picked exactly. You know, like if
not how it happened, but the outcome the main plot and points.
I can pay that.
I don't have any faith in the Game Awards this year, actually, to be honest. I think they're proper shit. I can't believe that Warframe isn't up for best ongoing game. Like,
POE or POE.
I can't even believe that Detroit Become Human isn't even in the nominations for Game of the Year.
But games like fucking Fortnite are taking Game of the Year awards home. Christ.
The thing for me is with Game of the Year is it's all about my personal enjoyment, because at the end of the day, what I think is Game of the Year is my opinion. And half of you, and I know last year nobody really... agree with me either. It's all about my enjoyment. Yes, yeah. Red Dead 2 is a very, very, very enjoyable game, and I really did enjoy it, and it, you know, I've enjoyed my time with it. I think it would be, and this, I think this, maybe this might be an unpopular opinion, I think it would have been more of a contender for Game of the Year if the online portion released at the same time.
Yeah,
because then it would be the full experience. Because realistically, a lot of people are waiting for that online portion because of the success of GTA 5 and because how much fun people have had with GTA 5 online, right?
I think this weird opinion now where I actually think that Red Dead Redemption 2 won't be Game of the Year, but it could still be Game of the Generation. For some reason, I seem to think that it's going to stand the test of time a lot better. Like, when I think about Red Dead Redemption 1 and I played it at that point in time in my life, I don't think it was Game of the Year for me. When I now look back at the PS3, it might have been after everything that happened, after the expansions that were released for it, the online stuff that eventually came out. It was probably up there with Game of the Generation.
Yeah.
I think that Red Dead Redemption 2 will stand the test of time better than most other games.
I think that's going to be the online portion. I think that's where it's really going to find its mark and really going to get its legs.
Maybe.
Did any of the GTAs ever get Game of the Year, or do they just go, this is a really good game, but not quite?
Most of them get Game of the Year.
Do they?
Realistically, it's very, very rare that Rockstar releases a big title and doesn't get Game of the Year. 100%.
Yeah, double check that.
At least with a few publications. Well, no, see, the problem is, what game... Are you talking about like IGN's Game of the Year, or Kotaku's, or like, who's Game of the Year? Because...
That's the problem. And we've got this new Australian one that's happening that...
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it. I've said my stuff on Twitter. You know my thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the actual game, the official fucking whatever they are later on. But yeah, I still go back to the fact, and it was my argument at the point for last year, was all these people talking about PUBG for Game of the Year last year. And I'm just like, come on. In 12 months' time, we won't be talking about it. And look what's happened. In 12 months' time, we're not even talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. Grand Theft Auto has taken out Game of the Year. For the Game Awards, which is obviously the big one that's at the end of the year. They took it out San Andreas in 2004, Grand Theft Auto 4 in 2008, Red Dead Redemption in 2010, and Grand Theft Auto 5 in 2013.
Like, every time.
But I can't...
Like, they smash it.
I can't, for the life of me, understand why Dragon Age got Game of the Year in 2014.
No, that...
Overwatch in 2016. Like, what?
Yeah.
Look, but Red Dead was... I've enjoyed my time with Red Dead. I'll come back for the online. I think I'm done with the story. The one thing I want to point out is how big that map is, but how lifeless the back end of it is. So there's a whole section of the map which is realistically half of the map of the first game that I did not visit at all through
in the story.
Story.
You don't. And
I just went to find the edge of the map, and riding through that, there's no strangers, there's no missions, there's no nothing. Right.
So do you think that's future content, or do you think that's online stuff?
I reckon it's got to be the online portion. I reckon it's got to be that's where they're going to do the online portion. I don't know.
Wouldn't it be fucking great if they just built Red Dead Redemption 1 and released it as DLC?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Like, this is a prequel, obviously, so they could. It's like, you know, imagine
they,
doing
they
that.
They kind of could, you know? Like, it's all there. For those who have finished it, you're going to know. Mm. Like, and again, you're right, Matty, you kind of know where it's going, but you're going to know better, I guess, if you finished it and exactly where it all ends up. But that's my experience with Red Dead. Anyway,
we've been talking for a long time just about what we've been fucking playing. We're going to move on, Josh.
Also picked still up going. Pokemon. Yep, still going. Also picked up Pokemon Let's Go Eevee on the Switch. Yep. Very interesting game.
Have you thrown your ball at the screen yet?
No. I'm playing it handheld. I'm playing it handheld. Shit. I'm not playing it docked. And for anybody that picks up, don't fucking play it docked. Why? Because the controls handheld are so much fucking better. It's just it's like button pushes and you might have to move the screen a little bit to use the controls. You can do it fucking lying down. It's so much better. I'm still not sure.
Forced motion controls aren't good, Nintendo.
Yeah,
it's always best lying down anyway, Josh.
Yeah, true. I'm still not sure if I enjoy it or not, but.
Fair. It's Pokemon. Yeah. You don't really enjoy it.
Pokemon's
one of the greatest RPGs ever made. They're fucking phenomenal games. They really are.
I just don't know if I like what they've done and made catching so similar to Go. You know, I enjoy the concept of the Pokemon battles and getting the health down to catch them and, you know, getting it to that slightest slither to be able to catch them better, as opposed to just throwing a ball and really luck of the draw. You know,
feed him berries. What are you doing?
Fuck that. Fuck that. And they've changed the way that you gain experience. You know, that's the other thing too. So I don't know. But the other thing, which I haven't spent enough time with, and I need to, is the Fortuna expansion for Warframe.
It's not game of the year. Just move on, mate. Seriously.
Fucking really keen to get back into that.
Not even nominated.
Really fucking keen to get back into that.
Okay.
Warframe on the Switch releases tomorrow, doesn't it?
Yep.
And you can transfer
stuff from PC.
I need to get that.
I need to get back into that because I need to max my character. But anyway,
what have you been doing anyway, Perko? Before we jump into the news,
I came back from Brizzy.
You made it back from Brizzy.
Made it back from Brisbane. Brisbane. Into the news. No, I don't know. Into the news. No. I've been playing a bit of COD.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
No, I'm really enjoying it because a lot of people know that I play a lot of video games in bed.
Are you just playing Blackout or are you playing the whole thing?
No, I'm actually playing way more multiplayer lately. I'm not Blackout at all. Me and like four or five mates, sort of, we have the Geeban squad and we've all prefixed our names with Geeb. And we lose a lot, and it's great fun. We all rage and fucking just yell at each other, and it's just really just, you know, friendship building. And
sounds like Rainbow Six Siege, to be honest. Anyway,
it's great. So I've been playing a lot of COD and Red Dead Redemption, and I didn't write it in here, but I've actually been playing quite a bit of Pokemon as well. I got Let's Go Pikachu. Because Seth likes Pikachu better than Eevee, I guess, my son. So I've been playing a lot of that, and I'm actually really enjoying it, surprisingly. So for those that don't know, it's a remake of Red and Blue, more or less. Follows
I thought
the
it
same
was Yellow,
line.
Actually.
No, Yellow was the same. Yellow was the same as Red and Blue as well.
Yeah, okay.
It just had Pikachu as the main instead of, you know, Blastoise and Charizard.
Come on, Josh, get your shit together, mate.
So you still got, like, you start in Pallet Town, you visit all the cities of Viridian City, and you battle all the same guys, like, Surge is the third fucking gym leader, you go on the SSN, there's the haunted place, it's all, like, it's the exact same as Red and Blue, pretty much. The catching mechanic, you're right, Josh, it's a bit shit compared to the old catching mechanic, but the level-up system is pretty damn cool. So do you know yet that... So at first I didn't really realise... I didn't see a point in capturing multiple of the same Pokemon.
Yeah, because you get the bonuses.
Because you don't get the bonus off a first capture.
No.
But then, If you catch more, then you get a streak bonus. Like you catch like three, whatever they are in a row, then you start to get more experience points depending on how many of that same Pokemon you catch over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into your Pokemon bag and you send them to old mate Professor Oak. Mm-hmm. And the more you send to him, he starts to give you shit like candies, not rare candies, but like attack up candies and stuff like that, which help level up your Pokemon outside of leveling up your Pokemon.
Yeah.
So now that I've started doing that. So now that I've started doing that, I'm just destroying fucking everything in the game. Yeah. It's great.
See, and I don't know if you've come run into the issue, but the issue that I've got that I've come across is actually a decent supply of Pokeballs.
Never run out.
Really?
I don't think I've ever run out.
I've gotten down to two and then had to go and get more, like, and go buy more.
I haven't bought any. I've got like 200.
Yeah, right.
It's ridiculous. But I don't know. Yeah, not too. Maybe you just throw too many to catch a Pokemon.
Maybe I'm just fucking shit. Good.
You gotta get good at like making sure like you throw the Pokeball and make it hit right in the middle of the green circle right when it's really small. Do the excellent throws and shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I'm surprisingly really enjoying it. I did not think I would. Seth, my boy, fucking loves it. He just sits there and pats Pikachu for fucking ages and thinks it's the greatest thing on the planet. That's ridiculous. Oh, and he did something. I don't know. So I've got an Instagram, Matt Jerkins on Instagram, and like I posted a photo of like a Pokemon photo with Pikachu and stuff on the Switch. And this one person's like, "Hey man, how did you get his hair to stick up like that?" And I'm like, I legitimately have no idea. Seth did it somehow. And I've looked on the internet. There's not much information on how to do that, and I can't get it to go back down, and I don't know how Seth did it. So he's done something, and now Pikachu's hair is different from everyone else's in the world, so I don't know what the fuck he's done. But yeah, that's pretty cool. But I haven't picked up Spyro. There's a few games that have come out that I really fucking want to play. So Fighting EX Layer is one of them. Soul Calibur 6 is another one. Hitman 2 is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Spyro is another one. There's a fucking ton of games. And I just found out fucking last night that there's a on the PlayStation Store. Did you ever play Castlevania Symphony of the Night? Anyone here?
No.
There's a package out at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah, Castlevania Requiem. So you can get Symphony of the Night and another one on the PlayStation. So there's just so many games out at the moment that I fucking really want to play. I'll probably get into those across the Christmas break, I'd say, when there's a bit of a lull in what is being released. But we better get in the news, because we've been fucking rattling on for about an hour already. Let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
Oh, man. So, fuck, where
let's
do you even start
with
this?
Stuff, eh?
PS5. It's been rumoured for a while, and it is all but been confirmed. So from what I understand in the research that I've been doing online, there was an overseas company was legitimately, I forget who it was off the top of my head. I'll have to go back and find the video and maybe link it somewhere. But there have been companies outright advertising for developer needed for PS5 game. And these are rather large companies overseas. So that has already sort of, you know, let people know that it's definitely on the way. Microsoft have sort of been announcing that they're, you know, potentially releasing a new console, Scarlet, sometime soon.
On studios for the next.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the chance that it might be discless was a recent, you know, news as well.
The current gen one, they're going to make a version of it that's
apparently
discless.
Mm.
That's great.
It is not.
Considering they said they wanted to do that 6 years ago and then got backlash, and then they're like, oh yeah, we'll do it now.
Yeah. And then it looks like it's all but sort of confirmed-ish at the moment, with Sony skipping E3 next year. So a lot of people thought this was like the death of E3 and stuff. I think it's less the death of E3 and more so Sony just... Well, like, why? So here's my thought. Why would Sony go to E3 and go, the PS5, it's coming, but we've also got these rad exclusives coming for PS4 that you should still care about for no reason now that we've announced the PS5.
Well, the majority of the exclusives that they announced at E3 or they showed at E3 are coming out next year anyway. Except
true.
For The Last of Us 2, there are rumors that The Last of Us 2 actually might be 2020 or even a PS5 title.
Yeah, see, I'm still of the opinion that the PS5 will play PS4 games
It's a lot. It's a lot easier now. Now that they've all, unless they go back to their fucking customer, I hope they don't. But a lot of the reason that they don't do backwards compatibility is because the architecture has changed so drastically from console to console. Like the PS3 had that fucking cell processor shit that was really hard to develop for. PS4 was the first one that went to just like an AMD processor, which is the same as everything across the board, which is why it's easy now to port shit across to everything and why everything's being released on fucking everything. So I can understand if the PS5 keeps that architecture. I can understand why they have backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
And I hope they do.
Then they can go, hey, look, Last of Us 2 is out and you can play it now, but if you get your PS5, you can also play it soon with better graphics and all that kind of stuff.
I remember watching that demo, that Last of Us 2 demo at E3 and just being like, this looks too fucking good for the
PS4. Yeah, PS4 can't do that.
Yeah.
I was like, I've played a lot of games on my PS4 Pro that I've just left my floor, my jaw on the floor.
Like Horizon. Oh, man, I've got to play Horizon again now that I've got a Pro.
I looked at that game and I was like, that can't be PS5. No, that can't be PS4 footage. That has to be PS5.
Well, I mean, that's where Elder Scrolls, we've seen teasers of that. They generally release a game every generation.
They did specify at E3 that the new Elder Scrolls is going to be next gen. It's not this gen, it's next gen.
Yeah. But so what is that look like? It's a weird thing.
On the creation engine from fucking 2005.
I hope not. Next gen. God, I hope not.
It is. It's been developed on the creation engine.
Oh, Christ. And next year is also the 25th anniversary of Sony as well, PlayStation.
Yes. I heard it and the first thing I thought was, oh, good. Good on them. PSX is going to be absolutely fucking huge and they're no longer going to be doing it just before Christmas when it's irrelevant. And they're going to do it probably about end of July, early August. And it's going to be just an absolutely massive event. And not only will it be all the PlayStation 4 stuff, but all the holiday titles that you're going to be playing on your PlayStation 4 as well. So they'll have Destiny and they'll have all this other stuff. And if I was a third party and I'm going, I can do it at E3 or I can do it at PSX about, 2 months or 1 month before release of the game and actually get some hype going, then I'm going, hey Sony, can we come along for the ride?
This could backfire on them, but because I said in our Discord, I said, man, if I was Microsoft, I'd be doubling down on E3 now because E3 still it has been waning, but it's got the pedigree. It's E3, man. It's been the main.
Waning.
Yeah, it is waning.
It's not,
but still,
it's not Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah. EA's basically all but out. They do their own thing down the road.
Yeah, but no one gives a shit about EA. They're a fucking fire.
Yeah, man's got a point.
Xbox was across the road last year, so they theoretically could do their own thing anyway. Activision is all but gone. They just basically put their games at the Sony booth and the Xbox booth anyway. Yeah, they don't have a press conference anymore.
With all the devs that Microsoft's been picking up lately, it could just be the Microsoft show. They could have the whole fucking E3 floor to just show off their new console and all the fucking games that are coming for it.
This is the theory I'm going on is Sony's gone, hey, we've heard all these rumors about the new Xbox. We're not sure exactly what's true, what's not. It's not what we've got planned. And after last generation, where Microsoft went first and then Sony went second and went, hey, basically what they said but opposite is what we're going to do. So imagine Xbox comes out and goes, hey, here's the new Scarlett, the new machine that's coming out next year and at E3. And then Sony's got a whole month to sit back and go, oh, so people didn't like this, people did like this. And then they come out and say, okay, so now here's our version and they can do it again. Yeah. And they can start that generation on the right foot once again.
So I was listening. Oh yeah, I mean it wouldn't be bad, but there's rumors out already that there's a lot of stuff that's already decided on the PS5. For instance, they're saying 4K 60fps is native, and apparently from rumors that I've been seeing around YouTube, I believe what's his name? I forget his name right now. He does a lot of fighting game stuff. He's heard rumors in the dev circles that apparently it's full 4K 60fps releasing at $499 for a next gen console, which is fucking cheap for there is no you would struggle even in US, like you can't do that with a PC.
You can't build a PC for that.
Yeah,
no way.
Like, so I'm very, very iffy about that, whether that's true or not. You know, coming from a tech world, man, that is some, they are going to be selling that thing at a fucking huge loss if the technology inside is good enough to do full 4K 60fps and at $499 entry price. That's ridiculous. Like, yeah, that'd be interesting.
So, what what's your thoughts on E3 itself going forward? Like, is this going to be around in 5-6 years time? Is as we know it? It's obviously not as we know it.
I don't think it's
going to matter. Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think it's too early in the year, to be honest. Now, like, I think with the attention span gamers have now, it's got to be closer to release windows. To be honest,
I think the biggest loser out of this whole situation is actually retail, if anything, because they use the E3 period as their hype period. You know, like, businesses devote entire weeks to hyping about, you know, all the new announcements that's coming out at E3, and then there's full games or system publishers is just gone. So
biggest machine manufacturer in the world, plus one of the arguably most biggest publishers in the world, or the best publisher in the world at the moment, just walking away. And that's what the show originally was. It was a trade show for retailers and journalists to go and see what was coming out and what they should purchase, like, for their stores. So
yeah, but there's no journalists left, so
Well, that's the thing. E3's got an identity crisis at the moment. I think Sony's understood that, and if you're going to go, okay, I'm going to spend millions and millions of dollars to go to E3, and I'm going to share the spotlight with, you know, 6 or 7 other big names, with
all
these
millions, just do it yourself and do it how you want to do it
in a space where there's no one else doing it. Like, it just makes so much sense. So much sense. And it's going to be knowing Sony, it'll be a PSX and it'll be fan focused. And I think that's part of the reason why there was no PSX last year, because they're going to do it next year bigger and better, but they're moving it forward. So otherwise, you would have like a small window between.
Just don't announce a fucking mobile game, please.
The Last of Us.
Mobile games are fun.
Yeah, understand your fans. I mean,
just don't end with the mobile game and say this is the big thing that you really want.
We know what you've been waiting for: Final Fantasy VII Remake on mobile.
I'd take it over that garbage fucking thing that they've showed so far of Final Fantasy VII's Remake. It looks like crap.
Yeah. It's still going though.
There was news came out recently that they've apparently, because they took entire development off the old team, and apparently, what's his name? Tetsuya Nomura, is that his name? The main dude behind
it?
Yeah,
something like that.
He has come out recently and said, it's actually, look, we've been holding off news on it. We've redeveloped a bunch of stuff. It's doing very, very well. We're very excited. Rumors are it's going to be on the PS5, but they're just waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3 to come out to start dropping any news about it whatsoever, because they don't want it to, you know, take away from Kingdom Hearts 3.
I remember just seeing the Final Fantasy VII Remake gameplay and just being like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, just take the original game, just update the visuals, keep everything else the same. It's the reason people loved it, and fucking re-release it like a Spyro or a Crash Bandicoot, and it will sell like hotcakes.
Fucking oath it would. Yep. Even though they just did you remember the PC version got that high def texture packs and stuff, and that was fucking beautiful. Do some shit like that. I don't know. All the same music. Anyway, Screen Queensland is handing out funding to 5 more indie projects, which is very, very cool. Any help that our Australian devs can get is great.
First round of award winners included our friends Damsel, Screwtape Studios. So, but Five Live Studio has got an unannounced title that they've just got funded in part of this. Unpacking by Witchbeam has also got it. Fledgling Heroes by Subtitle Boom, and Lifeboat Earth by Alex Butterfield. But the big one is Lanterns, which was on the PAX floor. Artifact Assembly, which we have Nick, one of the developers, pretty active in our Discord at the moment, and he was our first one in our Aussie Played news section. So congratulations to him for getting this round of funding, which is really, really good help for them all.
It's not just a small amount either.
Mm-mm. No.
No, it's enough to push games to the next level, which is fantastic.
Yeah, well,
you know,
basically,
it's about time.
Damsel used to pay for their PAX floor, which is not cheap, plus also the whole comic strip that they had, storyline that they added to the game as well, and another 3 or 4 months of polishing, which was really good.
Look, and by the way, if you are an indie dev and you listen to the podcast and you want to jump in the Discord, we do actually have an Australian Played channel now. We're going to be doing a bit more with that, and, you know, hopefully kicking another podcast off in the future where we focus on Australian indie devs and the games that they make and stuff like that. Nick's the first guy from Artifact Assembly. We actually I'm writing web links or web hooks now into Steam pages, so that channel gets automatically updated with any patch notes, anything like that, that you know, these Australian indie devs release, so you can keep everyone up to date with your game, you know, everyone who plays it and stuff like that. So if you want to jump into the USM Discord and be a part of that, please feel free. Any help that we can give, you Australian indie devs to get your word out there is one that we will, it's a step that we'll take and we'll jump at, because, you guys deserve the world. You're creating incredible games, and we've had people from overseas like Doc and stuff like that, USA guys and stuff, say, man, the Australian indie scene is outrageously good. Like, the games that are coming out of here are fucking top notch.
Yeah, so, I mean, it says it's been 10 minutes on the PAX floor to realise something. It's a step above, to be honest.
Yep. You guys need to you guys should be very proud of what you're creating. And
For the money that they're making it on compared to everyone else in the world, ridiculous.
100%. Speaking of great games, or sometimes not so great games, the 2018 Game Award nominations, PCGamer.com, are in.
This is going to make people rage, so let's just talk about it really quickly and move on. So, ongoing game of the year. What do you reckon, Perko? Path of Exile, Warframe, they should be in there, right? They'd be,
Path
they'd
of
be
Exile,
one of the
it,
big
it would be, realistically, for the past five fucking years, it should be either of those two games, probably just tied for the winner. They're free, and they're some of the, they've got some of the richest content available just in general at the moment. Not even in terms of AAA games, just in general.
And massive content updates.
Yeah,
constant,
and they're fucking free. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, and like, Path of Exile have just released on Xbox. They're just releasing on PS4 now. Another fucking update coming that adds like a Nemesis system light into it and stuff like that, where these people, you can move them around like you could in the Nemesis system, and like betray people and they remember who you are and shit like that. These they need to win this shit, but they don't.
But they're not. It's no Destiny 2 or Overwatch, to be honest.
No, but
seriously,
No Man's Sky is there. Like, what the fuck has that game done?
That has done a lot.
It's still shit.
Yeah.
They've spent a ton of like time bringing out the next update or whatever it was, and it's still a frustrating, shitty experience.
Yeah,
that was the worst 3.5 hours I've ever had streaming a video game. Like, I was physically
and you played Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I was physically angry at the end of it because I thought this game is just boring and shit and just is not fun to play. And everyone's
That's fair.
Oh, but you've got to get past the 30-hour mark. And I don't want to fucking play a game to 30 hours to get enjoyment out of it. Like, I want to be able to enjoy it from the moment I put it in my console. Like, the fact that
I think they've done a lot with it, but I don't think it should be there.
The fact that Warframe is not there is a fucking disgrace. Yeah. Absolute disgrace. Because that is one of the best, most polished, free-to-play, consistently supported video games that is available. And it's been number three on Steam for the last week and a half.
Mate, with the recent news of Diablo 4, the fact that Path of Exile isn't there is a fucking travesty as well. But, you know.
I honestly hope Rainbow Six Siege wins it, but they won't. It'll go to Fortnite.
No, they won't. It'll be Fortnite.
Yeah.
skins. That's all they fucking... They only do skins!
Wow.
Fuck!
There's also this whole best mobile game. So apparently they reckon PUBG Mobile's one of the best mobile games made this year.
Oh...
Wow.
And Fortnite will win that one too, even though it's not a game designed for mobile.
I'm going to talk. There's one thing that we're going to tie two topics into one here when we talk about this. Okay, let's talk about esports. Let's talk about the nominations for esports.
Espots.
Can you explain to me how, in best esports game, there is not Rainbow Six Siege?
I don't understand that at all.
In best esports player, why is there not a Siege player from a team?
No.
Best esports team. Why isn't Fabian from G2 put forward as one of the best esports players? Yeah. Because he's considered the best Rainbow Six player in the world. Best esports team. There is not a single one from Rainbow Six Siege. G2 should be there.
I can tell you why.
Like,
because it's the people who they get to nominate these games. It's such a terrible group of people. I'm gonna say it.
They're soulless.
The journalists, and I'm using air quotes, that they use to get this are such... They're just not in... Oh, I don't... Yeah.
Like, anyway. There's two other, quickly. Best esports event and best esports moment. You cannot tell me that there has been a better esports event this year than the Rainbow Six Pro League Finals in Rio. And you cannot tell me that there was...
That was before the
I understand that.
2018.
I understand that. 100%. I even think it was better than that. But you can't tell me that the best moment for esports this year was not Fnatic beating EG in the quarterfinals.
I don't care, though.
It's before the actual awards. Like,
yeah.
It just...
Again, I can. OG winning the international this year was arguably not only one of the greatest moments in esports this year, it was one of the greatest moments in esports history. They should not have done that.
But did they do it with their fifth player missing and replaced by their coach/manager?
Mate, even worse.
And then beat the second best team in the world.
Yes.
Actually, they had to go through all the qualifiers.
What happened was two best mates had a falling out about 3 weeks before the international started, and two dudes have been together since they started playing Dota. Two of them left the team. They had to completely remake the team from the ground up with a dude who's never played professional Dota before, had to come through the qualifiers, had to come through the fucking qualifiers, came through the losers bracket, and beat all the best teams in the world, including the team that his best mates left to. It was fucking insane.
I'll put it in Rainbow Six Siege speak. That's like me, you, and three other guys getting the team together. Going online to go for that last spot in the Invitational next February,
man.
And somehow getting all that way through and winning the Invitational.
Thompson's entire pool for winning in Dota before this event was like it was like $300 he'd won, and then he won fucking $11 million.
Wow,
it was fucking outrageous. It was so insane.
I mean, for me personally, that grates me that there is not a single esports award there for Rainbow Six because it is bullshit. It is fast becoming one of the best esports on the planet.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
They haven't asked journalists to follow that.
That's the problem.
No, but I think it's more than that. The reason it's not there, and you can tell it when you listen to us talk, is we're passionate about it, and the people they're asking. Mm-hmm. What they do is their job. They're not passionate about their job. You know, they get paid for it. Yeah, they might, but the, you know, if they would not, the way I look at it is they would not go out of their way and do this and not get paid and go and work something else and keep doing what they're doing now. So what they're doing is they're just going, oh, this is the most popular stuff. That's what we'll put up. And that's what it is.
It is the most popular. If I look at those games, CSGO, Dota 2, Fortnite, League of Legends, Overwatch, they are the most popular esports games this year, 100%. Are they the best ones? No. I personally find League of Legends boring as fuck to watch because I don't think Dota 2.
Fortnite esports holds a fucking candle to Rainbow Six Siege.
Agreed. I don't think Fortnite should be in there.
As big as the game is and as popular, like, there have been some big events, and Ninja's headlined pretty much all of them. There's no competitive Fortnite league, is there? There's no Challengers League. There's no Pro League.
That should be most popular esports game award, realistically.
Yeah.
Because that's what that is. But then if I look at the best esports player presented by Omen, two of these people I fucking love because I'm a big fighting game fan, and that's where Sonic Fox and Taekido come from.
Yeah, Sonic Fox is fair.
Sonic Fox, and he's a monster across multiple fighting games, and Taekido is a Street Fighter fucking god. Like he's one of the gods. He's one of the gods.
How is Sea of Thieves a best multiplayer game? Monster Hunter World as well. Like, I'm really sorry, but PUBG has more of a claim to being like in that bracket than those two games. And once again, Rainbow Six Siege, it has 35 million players. How is that not there? Like.
That does make sense to me. The best multiplayer game is trumped. Sea of Thieves does not trump Rainbow Six at any stage of the week.
Sea of Thieves and Monster Hunter World is weird being there. Like, I personally think that Monster Hunter World is in my top five games of this year. I fucking loved that game, but it is not one of the best multiplayer games of the year.
No.
My God, no.
I found that the most frustrating element of the whole game, to be honest.
But yeah, getting in parties and shit, it was very shit.
Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare. And
once you're in the party, it's fair, but like getting in it was slow and crap. And
I just wonder what the prerequisites are to get nominated for these awards, because Nintendo Labo, or whatever you want to call it, best family game, like, what the fuck? Sales in Australia have been, like, I know it's not based on Australia, but its sales worldwide have been pretty poor.
Like, no, the journalists get asked, and they have to nominate minimum of three, maximum of five in each category. If they can't nominate a minimum of three, they don't nominate anything for that category at all. So if they don't know esports, they don't nominate.
Mm.
So that's how it's done. It's just the outlets that they're choosing. Look, some of them are great, but some of them are just phoning it in. And we've just talked about journalism in gaming, and they're the people who they're getting to do these awards. Best, and it's just so fucking lopsided.
Best action game, Mega Man 11.
Is a great game, to be fair, but it's not one of the best action games.
Holy fuck.
Anyway.
Even Dead Cells, like, that's a great game, but that's not one of the best action games of the year. That is not.
Like, what is Celeste? I've never heard of that game.
Celeste is...
Oh, dude,
is,
that's a, man, that is some... There are some fucking... People love that it, fucking actually. Game, dude. Holy yeah. shit. Yeah.
Like, I'm... No, like, it, some, I haven't said anything about it because I've never actually... Like, no,
it leans into, legitimately, it leans into mental health and stuff. Yeah. And it's kind of, imagine what would happen if Super Meat Boy had like a real hard like mental health problem and they lent into that in the game. Like, yeah. it's fucking yeah. it's a very solid platformer and the storytelling it is very good. But it is it's a solid platformer with some very interesting elements. I know that one of the guys, I forget his name on Twitter. God, I can't remember his name. Sorry, mate. It's like his game of the year. He fucking loves that game more than anything in the world. Yeah, I've played it. I think it's a very good platformer, but I don't think it's one of the...
I wish I was that good at games that I'd be able to play it and enjoy it, but I just
hope, I hope Brian Deckard takes out the best performance for Connor, because like, I man crushed so hard on that dude. I saw him at E3 and he was standing there with Emilia Rose Blair and just like there was like 100 people around him and he was taking photos and I was just sort of...
What's this for?
Connor in Detroit become human. He's now actually streaming. He's become a big streamer out of it.
He's become
as well,
big so. At like everything out of it. Like absolutely.
Yeah, he was actually very good. My favorite was what's his friggin' name? The bloke who played Spider-Man. He was outrageous. Yuri, yeah, he was fucking very, very good.
So I'd be happy with him. With any of those three Sony actors, so Brian for Detroit, you got old mate for Teal'c from God of War,
The girl that played Cassandra was really awesome. She made like in Assassin's Creed, she made the dude that played Alexius look like trash, look like a B grade action movie star that got pulled in off the street. Man.
Just going way off topic here. I really hope somebody releases a skin where you can change Kratos to look like Teal'c, because that would be the fucking best thing in the world, man.
Holy shit. That'd change the whole fucking... Yeah, that'd change that game a lot, actually. If you want to see them, they're on the PCGamer.com website, the 2018 Game Award nominations. We've got to keep moving because this is going to be a long podcast otherwise. Look, we're going to talk about ours soon, too, because we're going to do our USM Game of the Year. Things are going to change up a bit this year. I don't know if I like the rule where you have to finish a game to nominate it for Game of the Year. Although I still think that that's important. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
I'm better this year because I've actually finished some games. So I can actually nominate more than one game.
You only finished Golf Story last year.
Golf Story and Rumu. The only two I finished. I finished Rumu like the night before the podcast. What a
game. It was 3 hours long, man. How'd you struggle with that?
I got through it in one sitting. It was so good.
Anyway, so you'll hear some news about our own awards coming up very, very soon. They'll probably be happening within the next month, I would say. Well, it has to, because end of the year then. Here we go. They're going to fuck this up.
Oh my god, it's Command & Conquer Red Alert coming back. Yes, that's the news.
There's a Red Alert and a Command & Conquer remasters coming. But
and
EA's
they're from
involved.
The actual... They've actually gone back and found the studio that's got the most of the old Westwood guys who used to work on the original games, and they've got them to actually remaster it. So,
look, fool me once, fool me twice.
Coming to mobile.
I just don't... I don't have... Look, I want them to be good, but I've got no faith left in me for EA.
Is it Red Alert? Is it only the first Red Alert? Or is it Red Alert?
Only the first Command & Conquer. They are also adding in all the DLC and all that kind of, all the expansion packs, to it as well.
Man, they were released before DLC was a thing.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said the wrong word. Oh, shit. Funny fact, Red Alert 2, Yuri's Revenge, got pulled off the shelf because it had the Twin Towers in a smoking rumble.
That was the greatest game. Was the greatest game. Red Alert 2 and Yuri's Revenge. Oh.
It's the hype. But yeah, anyway... I have faith in it. The problem I have with it is whether or not it'll launch before EA gets bought out by someone else.
Microsoft.
Yeah, by Microsoft. Don't tell anyone. that's my only concern. It's going to be Red Alert. They can't... Okay, I'm not going to say...
Yes, they can fuck it up. It's EA. Stop having faith in these companies. You keep getting burnt, Wilco. I'll remain interested. I won't remain... I'm not going to be excited or optimistic. I'm just going to say, I'm interested to see how that turns out. If it's good, great. If it's not, it's kind of saw that coming too.
I just hope it's good, because then they could do number two and that would make my life just amazing.
Yeah.
Let's go on.
Moving on. Battlefield 5 apparently is the first playable ray traced game.
I added this in because we actually had a sit down with Nvidia while we were actually at PAX and we got to see So I wanted to quickly talk about it, not long. Cool ray tracing. It's excellent. It's amazing. It makes it look amazing, but it's not a huge step forward in graphical. Like, you can't tell, like, yeah, you can tell when you get a point out, but you can't tell. What I'm excited about with those cards, the RTXs, is the DLSS, which is going to improve frame rates for 4K games. Mm. So that's what we saw really, really well done with the AI technology, so pretty keen for that. But it's good that the text finally getting supported by Battlefield 5 at the start anyway.
The Rainbow Six Rio finals have wrapped up.
We could talk about this for like hours, but let's sum it up. APAC is greater than NA. That's all you need to say.
North America got knocked out in the quarters by was it both APAC? No. Who did Nora knock
Nora
out?
Nora Rengo knocked out Rogue, so then NA as well. So we
we met these dudes. Like,
we stomped. We stomped on NA. And I'm sorry, but like, NA's in trouble at the moment. They really are.
Yes.
Because right now, they're talking about shuffling rosters again. So it's like, that's the reason they're all over the place at the moment, is because they keep shuffling their rosters and teams are all over the place and players are absolute gods through the regular season and then go to LAN and just can't handle it.
Yeah.
And the latency.
That Nora Rengo Fnatic final that we watched at PAX was fucking awesome. Made me want to play Rainbow Six and I still got to get into it.
You need to go watch... The quarterfinal for Fnatic versus Evil Geniuses. Know the background, which is Mags. I assume it's appendicitis. I don't think it's been confirmed yet.
It was,
yeah. So he couldn't make the flight. So then there was this big, we don't know who's going to fill. We don't know. Then all of a sudden the coach never played PC LAN before at Pro League level.
Mm.
He'd only played, last game he played was on Xbox Siege, which was the first invitational, which was like 2 years, 2017, so a year and a half ago, whatever. He stepped in and absolutely wrecked shop.
Yeah. Outfragged some of the best players on Fnatic's team.
Yeah.
And they threw their strats out the window and they just started playing with fun. Like the last round of the game. Like, Aces just jumps out of a window with Ella as a shot with a shotgun and gets two kills and downs a third, and
that reminds me of like I said before the Dota 2, like the hype levels on that would have been fucking through the roof.
And then they went and played the best team in the world and lost 6-0 so
which is the first time ever in history in PC LAN history that someone's lost 12-0. So we broke records, but it was the first time I was watching an eSport at my computer and I literally threw my hands in the air and screamed out when they won that quarterfinal.
It was a huge moment for Australian esports as well, because NA talks shit about us all the time and they both got stomped on by APAC teams and we had double APAC semi-finals. And
can I just say that the main carry for the team that won the international this year was Australian, Ana, the player. What? First time.
Really?
Which is fucking cool. Yeah, 100%. Yep. Multi-millionaire now, and he just retired actually the other day. He's not an OG anymore.
What's this for?
For Dota 2.
Oh, for Dota 2. Okay.
Millionaire. Became a millionaire overnight. Lucky motherfucker. Yeah.
But yeah, so there's also a heap of unveiling stuff for the Wind Bastion, which is new operation. But the big thing is they've announced the Invitational, which is in February next year, has just crossed the $1 million American mark prize money.
That's actually growing. Pretty big. For another game to get over $1 million, that's very big. Because it only happens to lucky games at the moment.
So there's Warframe, blah blah blah, something PC, something for Switch, something, and that's the new
Warframe. Warframe is coming to PC. It's going to be great. Apparently,
it's coming to Switch.
Yeah, it's coming to Switch. It's going to be great. A lot of people have had hands on, or a couple of people have had hands on, and they said it's fantastic. So,
you can transfer your PC progress to Switch.
Yeah, but it branches off. It's different. So whatever you do on the Switch is different to what on the PC.
And it's only up to not Fortuna, the expansion before.
League of Legends did a League of Origin in Australia.
Really?
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, it was Australia New South Wales v Queensland v Victoria v New Zealand, I think it was, for the four teams, and they did a thing over the weekend, big battle. So.
Well, actually, speaking of going back to Dota again, there's a lot actually happening, and I'd still watch competitive Dota. There's a big tournament happening at the end of this year, like in a month time, where OG, the winners of the international, are going to be in Australia, including
Notaro. That's right, you said that at PAX.
PAX. And the last major just happened, and who the fuck won that? Was it EG or Secret? I can't remember who won that. It might have been Secret. Took it home. They won $1 million. Good on them. Anyway. This is cool. So if you've got Netflix and you haven't watched the Castlevania series, what the fuck are you doing? Go watch that and then get excited because there's a Devil May Cry series.
Okay, yeah, I'll be back in a sec.
That makes me... having watched Castlevania and loving Devil May Cry, I'm pretty damn excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking awesome.
I've just got to wonder where it's going to sit.
Yeah, you know, like which, good point.
You know, is it...
Could be separate.
I've never actually played much Devil May Cry.
So, oh man, it's so good. Very, very good.
Mm.
Like, very, very good.
It's just one of those games that I looked at and I was just like, it's not really my thing.
No, that's fair. The art style still doesn't get me a lot in Devil May Cry, but it's not. It's the nuances of the controls. So the combos, it is actually quite a... In terms of like a hack and slash game, there's a lot of skill to get big combos in that game. Yeah. It is fucking awesome. And it feels good when you hit them. But much like a Bayonetta or something like that.
And it's just a good story too, I reckon. Like it's got.
Yeah, I don't remember a fucking thing about it. I'll have to read up before I play Devil May Cry 5. Dante something or other, Nephilim something, brothers dead, not too sure, Devil May Cry 5. Yep.
Something.
Someone hire me to write fucking story in video games. What are you doing? Yeah, we said this before.
We touched on that. So let's move on to, hey everyone, Black Friday is this Friday. Get your wallets ready and throw them at your screen.
I am too poor for that, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very, very poor.
Amazon, EB, Target, Big W, I think have all put out what they've got on sale already. Pretty most people have, so...
Is it good? Is there anything good?
There's Spider-Man's like 29, God of War's 29 in some places. It's ridiculous.
It's really good time to pick up a VR headset. Like, if you're after a VR headset, they're pretty cheap at the moment for the PS4.
It's just a good time to pick up a new console, to be honest.
Do I want PSVR? I've got a VR headset sitting beside me right here, a Lenovo one, and I just use it to watch the basketball highlights because I'm like on the court. It's fucking sick. That's fucking sad.
But get your wallets ready. And continuing our little theme each week of what the fuck Fallout 76 moments. We touched on it before.
I've just read this fucking hyperlink, Wilco. This is gonna give me a fucking stroke. Mate, so this game, okay, I know what's happening here, and my brain is melting. I'm having an aneurysm.
In their defense, this is the first patch that they said this is the only, this is the biggest patch that they think they'll ever have to roll out.
They already rolled out one bigger, the day one.
Yeah,
they said this one is 47 gigs, and that is absolutely outrageous. I will completely agree with you. But they reckon
That's a new client. That's just a redo of the client.
They've done is they've released a patch and pushed the whole fucking game out again.
Yeah.
Because the whole game is 47 gigs. Yeah. That's the size of the game. So the first fuck my life.
So they've sold you the game with the client.
Yeah.
Then they've updated the client in the day one patch. And
with
then
a bigger fucking patch than the actual client itself. And then they've updated the client.
That's in the first week. How good is this?
But they've said that patches after this will not be anywhere near as big.
The same
patch on PC is only 15 gig. So I don't know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, mate, because I've already threw my download quota for the next 19 years because I fucking bought Fallout 76.
Mate, I don't know about that. I've got unlimited.
By the time you finish downloading this patch, you'll have three more in the works that you'll have to download again. So
actually, I do hear the next patch is coming, being released on PS5. So maybe even PS6. Our mate Dash, who's doing the Dash Video Game Awards end of this year. Our nominations are
year or something or other, I think.
Yeah, he does it every fucking year. What a legend. I love you, Dash.
Nominations are closed. Mm. They're in.
Nominations are closed. We put our nominations in. So we're keen to see those awards come up as well.
I've just been bitching about journalists that nominate for awards the whole episode.
We did the same thing. I phoned the fucking whole thing. I'm joking. I didn't really. I actually thought very hard. I was trying to think. I was like, man, I sat there. I fucking nearly had an existential crisis. I was sitting there going, what's my game of the year? Oh my God. What's my game of the year? Do I pick this or this? Shit, what do I nominate? And I was getting
15 hours later.
Really fucking, it was not easy. Anyway. That's it for the news. If you want to help us out with the news, you can join our Discord, which you can find a link to do so on our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. Click on the community part and come join us and bants and fun chats and lots of things and me raging about all kinds of shit. Today I was raging about Telstra, which was whatever. Discord's pretty fun sometimes. Into the listener feedback. Likewise, if you want to ask us questions, we've got a place where you can do that. Whippy Bippy Glitter Nippies. God, that name, mate. Has asked the question, what are your opinions of modern arcades? Do you think there's still hope for them in Australia, or are they destined for a future filled with ticket redemption games, gimmicky licensed games?
I can't even remember the last time I went to an arcade.
This is interesting.
There is a follow-up to this in the Megacast chat I've just seen. Zero is coming. I don't even know who Zero is, but welcome to Discord. It says the barcades are starting to take off in Australia, which they are. There's one in Brisbane, which is Netherworld.
There's actually a couple in Brisbane now. There's one called Pincadia as well.
Oh, is there? Nice.
Yeah, and there's another Street Fighter one that's like a Street Fighter cafe. You can buy beers and have Street Fighter machines in. There's one in Melbourne.
I prefer them over the modern arcades, to be honest. We did the modern arcade while we were in Melbourne, and it's just like a pokey machine, chaosy heaven.
It is mostly ticket machines, and the reason why is because... And I've actually... You know, Kyle Skanes, you know him.
Yes, I know Kyle.
He is currently the... Well, he works at the Time Zone in Mackay, and I'm good mates with him. So I've walked in there. And we are in talks to get some local fighting game community stuff happening up here, like putting on some tournaments and stuff like that. He's been trying to get Time Zone Australia to let him buy Tekken machines for a while, and they won't because they say, mate, if people are coming to arcades like this one, they're not coming in to play games like that. If they wanted to do that, they'd play at home with their friends because everyone's got these games on console now. There's no fucking reason to do them here. You know, people come to these places to play the ticket machines and win prizes, like a date night thing. Which I think is kind of true. They're still big in Japan because the Japanese culture
in Japan, man,
It's because the Japanese culture, people don't stay at home in Japan. Like their houses don't have, like they don't have consoles and shit at home very much because no one really stays at home. They all go out and socialize. Like that's what they do. They don't really spend much time at home.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, I know what shit house say. But so they're big in Japan. I don't know if barcades. I think Wilco's right. I think barcades will take it over.
I would 100% go to a barcade over anything else if I had the chance. I've got a Bucks weekend I'm doing early in the new year, and one of the nights there is we're going to Netherworld and spending an evening or an afternoon there. So
with Benny and the gang, good guys.
I probably should invite them. I guess they'll be around. So. No, I've just got real life friends that I'm bringing along, so I'll mix them in with the USM / AGPN crew at some stage at Bartronica. No, Netherworld. I keep on getting them mixed up whenever I talk.
They're in very different places, surprisingly.
Yeah, but they feel such so same. They feel like home when I walk into them. So it's just alcohol.
That's true. And McDad. Hello, McDad, the chicken fish inspector. Fuck. chicken fish. Has asked the question. Question for Timmy. How does it feel to add podcaster to your list of talents, mate?
Oh, it's definitely interesting. Like I didn't expect you guys to actually hit me up and say, look, you know, come and join the crew.
Neither did I, to be honest. But yeah.
It's good. Like I actually really enjoy talking without the camera. It's a nice change. It's actually the way it's fit into my stream schedule as well. It kind of gives me an extra night off, if that makes sense. Like I don't know. I feel like streaming is a very fine line because sometimes, you know, like people dive in and they're like, I'm going to do it every fucking day. I'm going to do it 5, 6, 7 hours a day.
Burn the fuck out.
And they burn out really quickly. Whereas I do it 5 nights a week and I felt I was getting like burning out doing 3.5 hours. So this kind of pushes my stream. Like it makes it a little bit like I only do sort of 4.5 now instead of 5. And it's sort of, I just feel like I have a little bit more time to myself, and I mean I can sit and read stuff while I'm talking to you guys, and I can catch up on things and like write emails, and it's good. Like I really enjoy it, and I like talking to people about issues where we all don't agree on the same thing. Like that'd be really boring if we all agreed with everything.
And that is one thing I've actually pushed for since day dot is I want differing opinions a lot of the time as well, except for, you know, Breath of the Wild. That's
the only
reason
he keeps me around.
It's true. Yeah. Differing opinions is better. It makes for interesting conversation. You know, no one would ever, you know, we're not going to solve the world problems by all agreeing.
Exactly.
Actually, no, that probably would solve most of the world's problems, unfortunately. But, you know, things aren't going to get better. Thank you guys for asking the questions. If you want to ask us a question, then head on over to the Megacast portion of the Discord. And again, if you want to join our Discord, you can do so. Head to the website ultrasupermega.com.au and click on the community part at the top of the page. What are we looking forward to, Wilco?
The game of the year finally releasing, Just Cause 4. I'm pretty psyched about that. So
you're fucking delirious, man.
No, that game is going to be shit.
Yeah, that
game's going to be awesome. Poo-poo. I'm going to be number one streamer because all you guys think it's going to be shit, and I'm going to be playing it. I'm the only one playing in the world, and everyone's going to flock to see it. It's going to be great.
Okay.
One niche.
Wilco's six viewers. I'm very sorry you have to watch him play Just Cause 4.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Timmy, what are you looking forward to, man?
Next year.
Just right.
This year's actually just been just a write. Well, not a write off, but this year's just been pretty average for me. Like I haven't. There hasn't been a game apart from Detroit that released this year that I was just like absolutely shitting my pants with excitement to play. Like it's. I'm just looking forward to Division 2 next year and maybe Anthem if it does the right things, if it does it for me. But yeah, I don't know.
I was talking to a friend of ours before actually. Works in Ubisoft Australia and. He said he was mentioning about stuff that he's got planned in quarter one 2019. I went, oh fuck, and then I listed off just Tom Clancy stuff. So yeah, Rainbow Six Invitational, like we said, year four content, Division 2, and then a lot of Australian Rainbow Six stuff content, live matches that are going to be happening as well. Yeah, so yeah. Just our first 3 months of the year is going to be chaos.
It will be. Can't really wait. Will be. Josh.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. Like, it's... I've been kind of absent for...
Just Cause 4.
Absent for 4 weeks because I'm just so flat stick busy with everything else and that's not stopping at the moment. So I'm actually surprised I got some time tonight to do this. So, yeah, I just... Time. I'm looking forward to more time so I can work out what I can actually do with that time because at the moment I have none of it.
Like yeah, I said, Josh, just because I said Just Cause 4 doesn't mean you don't have to as well. You can say it. It's fine.
I've never played Just Cause game.
Welcome to the club when you come in. It'd be good. Yeah. You'll enjoy yourself.
Well, I'm looking forward to Wilco playing Just Cause 4 and hating it because it's going to fucking happen. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to Kingdom Hearts when it gets released. I'm looking forward to...
Bullshit, that's not getting released.
It probably won't, hey. Looking forward to Crackdown 3. No, I'm looking forward to a bunch of games, but I can't really remember any of them right now. So that's pretty interesting.
It's weird next year because we had to do that whole anticipation award thing, and I'm like, "Fuck, what is coming out next year?"
I'm looking forward to I think we're on the ramp down. Hey, I really do think we're going to get next gen console news soon, like within the next 12 to 18 months. Because I think it's odd at the moment. But there's some big games coming still, but. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the next, like, the next gen consoles.
The big indicator is, look at Microsoft. They're buying all these studios. They've got nothing but Crackdown 3 in the works.
It's been like that for years.
but they've always had little things. Like, they've always had Sea of Thieves and State of Decay sort of in the background. But we know nothing outside of Crackdown 3, which could very well be a 2020 game at this stage. So.
No, it's supposed to be February. It's supposed to be out of fucking February.
You're funny.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, let's end this fucking thing. It's like an hour 30 now. So we'll go. Where Thanks, can we catch you, man?
We'll go Chill Zone or playing Just Cause 4 or just dying in a corner somewhere.
Good stuff. Timmy, if people want to track you down, where can they find you?
twitch.tv/Uber_Timmy or at UberTimmy on Twitter.
Now that's Timmy, T-I-M-M-E-H.
T-I-M-M-E-H, yes.
Timmy.
Or just type in famous on Google.
Oh, shut up.
Beam up that way.
Fucking hell.
Josh, where can we catch you, man?
On the Discord, Force of Reason, give me a shout out. If I happen to be there, I will answer.
Beautiful.
That's kind of
beautiful
it.
Beautiful stuff. You can catch me, Matt Jerkins, most of the places, Matty Jerkins in a lot of other places, Deacon_Fall on PlayStation, and you can catch us all at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. Tell your mum we love her. We'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.